Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
I want to go over to North Carolina now, where Molly and Tom Martins, who had been convicted of murdering Irishman Jason Corbett, were yesterday released from jail ahead of a retrial. The father and daughter were each granted bail on a $200,000 bond. Suzanne Lynch, Washington correspondent for the Irish Times, joins us on the line now. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning, sir.
Can you describe the scene outside the court when they were released?
Yeah, so this was about an hour after the hour-long bail hearing finished. Molly Martins, the former wife of Jason Corbett, she was first to leave jail, and she walked out. The jail was adjoining the courtroom, and she had been moved there along with her father last week, pending this bail hearing. So at around 4 p.m. local time, she walked out. She hugged her mother. Her lawyer was there. And then she slowly walked out of the grounds into a car. She didn't stop to speak to the media. No comment from her. She was smiling. She looked relieved. And then about an hour and 15 minutes later, her father Thomas Martin, who'd been represented by different lawyers in this case, he then came out. Basically, both had been waiting to organise their bail bond payment, $200,000 each. There was a bank nearby. We're not sure, but we think it may have come from that. They were waiting for those administrative issues to be resolved before they could leave. And then he left at about 5:15 local time. He did speak to the media briefly, saying he was looking forward to spending some time with his family. He was smiling, looked relieved, and then got into a car that appeared to be driven by one of his sons, it seemed. Quite a few of the Martins family were in attendance at court yesterday.
And did prosecutors give any indication now whether they intend to retry the case or whether they're going to offer them a plea deal?
Well, this is where it's going to go next. So yesterday's bail hearing was to do with the retrial, and that was following the Supreme Court ruling last month that a retrial should be heard. But in parallel, if you like, there were discussions about a plea deal between Martins and the district attorney for Davidson County in North Carolina. And this is something that that Tracy Corbett Lynch, Jason Corbett's sister, strongly opposes. Now, she put out a statement and family put out a statement last night saying they welcomed the fact that this appears to be off the table now and a retrial is now going to happen. In saying that, Philip, I think it is important to say that, you know, it hasn't been definitively ruled out yet by either the district attorney or lawyers for the Martins. They have refused to comment at all about reports about this plea bargain. So, you know, it is possible that that could still happen. But at the same time, where we are going now is that we're being told there will be a retrial. What we do know, though, is that it is unlikely to take place before next year. These things typically take time, but also with COVID, there has been a huge backlog of cases. But that's where we are now. But, you know, it is possible, I suppose, technically, that there could still be a plea bargain of some sort.
And Suzanne, what did you learn or what was heard in court about the piece of evidence that was withheld from the previous trial that the Martins say hampered their case?
So most of the hearing yesterday, which was about an hour long, was about the terms of the bail condition. So the state argued that bail should be set at $1 million, saying that the Martins, Thomas Martins in particular, was a man of means. He had property. He's a retired FBI agent, presumably in receipt of a pension. And then lawyers for the Martins said no, they thought the bail should be set at $200,000, which it was. Now, ultimately, by the judge. Now, the state also used the opportunity to kind of recap the top lines of the case, the original case. And Alan Martin for the state really described in gruesome detail the manner of Jason Corbett's death, how he'd been struck at least 10 times, and the injuries he sustained, whereas Molly Martins and her father had no sign of any injuries on themselves or their clothing when emergency services arrived. So there was no discussion there at the actual hearing yesterday about this new evidence, but that is going to be the key issue. If there is a retrial, the evidence of the two Corbett children will be included in that trial. That was excluded during the big trial of August 2017, Now, the Supreme Court ruling, which upheld a previous ruling, is saying that needs to be included. The Corbett family said yes, they welcome the opportunity for the two Corbett children to put on the record their views, but also the defence have also said that they welcome, they feel that some of this evidence was unfairly excluded from the original trial. So that's going to be the crux of the issue when this retrial happens.
Okay, so both sides would be bringing new evidence to any new trial. What has the reaction been like from the Corbett family, Suzanne?
They welcomed, they put out a very strong statement last night welcoming the fact that it now appears that a retrial is going to happen. They were very opposed to the idea that this that there might be a plea bargain. In other words, that the Martins would plead guilty to a lesser charge and then they ultimately would be let out of prison early, essentially. They felt that that would be a miscarriage of justice and that, as they put it, the Martins would literally be getting away with murder. So they put out a statement last night saying they welcome the fact there's a retrial. They feel that, you know, their fight for justice for Jason continues and that the district attorney has shown that Jason's life, as they put it, is of equal importance to all others, even those who admitted to killing him. In saying that, as I said, the issue is we do need clarity, or there may be clarity, you know, in the next few weeks, days, months, whether there is, if this plea bargain has definitively been put off the table. As I said, we haven't got confirmation of that by the district attorney nor lawyers for the Martins yet. But they have very much welcomed that it does appear now that the retrial is going to happen, and that the two Corbett children will be very happy to testify and give their side of the story when this court case opens again, probably next year.
Now, I know you're in North Carolina and nowhere near Minneapolis, where the trial of the former police officer Derek Chauvin is proceeding for the murder of George Floyd is going on at the moment, but you have been keeping an eye across it. The prosecution continued to call witnesses yesterday. Who did the court hear from?
Yes, so the prosecution case is continuing. It was day 8 yesterday, and really the focus from prosecutors is the use of force by the police officer Derek Chauvin. So they called for the second day Jody Steger. He works in the LAPD as an expert on the use of force in the police force. And he reiterated previous testimony during the week that he used, that untoward force was used on George Floyd because he stopped resisting the moment officers placed him on the position on the ground. Derek Chauvin went on to hold his knee on the neck of George Floyd for little under 9 minutes, and that was after he stopped resisting. So his argument was that that was excessive use of force. So that has been a very strong line of questioning from the prosecution. Now, the defence has been trying, in their cross-examination, they've been trying to suggest that in some cases, you know, police are allowed to use this kind of force. But as I say, these experts are cutting across that argument. And they're also trying to argue, really, this case is all about Philip, the cause of death, George Floyd's death. George Floyd's, on the side of George Floyd, they're saying his death is caused by the actions of the police officer. The defence are going to try and argue that it was a small amount of drugs that were found in his system, that was the cause of the death.
Okay.
So we're expecting to see a lot more of that line of questioning when the defence gets to bring their arguments probably next week in this case.
Can I ask you about the vaccine rollout in the United States? My intention is not to make you a figure of envy at all, but you've got your second dose.
I did. I got my second dose, my second Pfizer dose, just before I came down to North Carolina on Tuesday. So it was an exciting day. I have to say, Philip, though, I did also get COVID before Christmas. So people shouldn't be too jealous of that. But it does kind of encapsulate the you know, the paradox of the United States, that, you know, COVID deaths were very high in this country last year. But now the COVID vaccination program is proceeding very quickly. And I suppose my own experience encapsulates that. But yes, I got Pfizer, the two vaccine shots on that. It depends. What's happened now is that President Biden announced just this week that all adults would be eligible to get their vaccine by April 19th. So that's just, you know, just over a week away.
Does that mean literally everybody over the age of 18?
Yeah, or 16. I'm not sure exactly, but most states are saying over 16. But the problem is there's still a log jam. So I know plenty of people who still haven't got their vaccine. because it comes down to where you live. Each state is running the vaccine rollout program. DC, where I live, Washington DC, is complex again because it's not technically a state, but the District of Columbia, the mayor there has been running it. She's been very keen to make sure that poorer areas of DC are, you know, got priority. And at one point in the vaccination rollout, only certain zip codes, certain areas, lower income areas of Washington were eligible to get it first. And then, like every other state, there was kind of a system where it started with over 65 and moved down. But we're now at the point, kind of anecdotally, that there is enough vaccines, it seems, that most people are getting it in some way. I know some people in Washington, D.C. went to neighbouring Baltimore and Maryland to get their doses. They were getting frustrated at the pace of rollout in Washington. So I think we're now getting to the point where a lot of adults are getting it if they want to somewhere. And I know there's been a lot of controversy in Ireland about queue skipping. I think that is going on here. But I think the difference is there's so much supply that people are not as impatient because they know their own vaccine is just around the corner. So I think that is kind of weighing on that debate about queue skipping over here.
Okay, but it does also mean, doesn't it, that I suppose it's only a matter of weeks now before the United States might actually have some surplus to send around the rest of the world. Suzanne Lynch in North Carolina, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Coming up after the break, what's the cop's favourite cop show?
Today with Claiborne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.